It's going to warm up this weekend, and maybe we can get this coronavirus thing out of our minds for a little bit and get back to digging in the dirt. We got Steve Pettis here with us this morning again from the North Carolina Cooperative Extension Center. Good morning, Steve Pettis.
Good morning, sir.
Great.
Am I right that it's April Fool's Day?
You are right that it is April Fool's Day. Yes, sir.
All right, I'm hanging up. See you later.
Wait a minute. Hey, we were just talking with Danny McConnell just a little bit ago from McConnell Farms, and then talking about native plants and some of the ones that they have, of course, available. And there's lots of places around where you can find these native plants. And you want to talk about restoring our landscapes back to natural and choosing native plants when we can, right?
Exactly. I encourage people to do this all the time. It's not that we need to necessarily restore all of our landscapes to natural, but part of our landscapes.
Yeah.
If we have a yard, it's very easy to dedicate a small portion of that to native plants, which attract and shelter native animals and insects and amphibians and reptiles and that sort of thing.
And I would think that it makes a whole lot of sense to use natural plants and when you can, because they're here for a reason, right?
That's right. I don't know if you remember when early in the spring, the city was going to do a contest where you guessed the date of the magnolia downtown, right?
Yeah, I remember that.
Ended up blooming out and freezing.
Yeah,
that's not a native plant. And it doesn't know that it's not in China. And as soon as it warmed up, you know, it began growing, and then we got our cold weather. But you notice our native plants didn't bloom. That's because they're adapted to our fickle winter weather, and they are able to figure out when is the best time to flower.
Interesting. I've never thought of it that way.
Yeah. So native plants are adapted to our area. They're adapted to the climate. They're adapted to our soils. They're adapted to our pests, and including insects and diseases. So, you know, native plants have a lot going for them. And not to mention the fact that we have some of the most beautiful plants in the world native to Western North Carolina.
I'm glad you mentioned that. Can you tell us some of the native plants that we see around here and ones that we should be using?
Oh, yeah. I don't know if you've, in your travels, if you have seen the service berries blooming.
Service berries.
Yeah. Service berry is a small tree. It's about 25 feet tall. Settlers used to call it the service berry because it bloomed about the time the ground got warm enough for you to bury your winter dead.
Huh.
Because the ground would be frozen. So they were service berries. Because there were lots of services in the spring.
Wow.
That's lots of funerals.
So what does that one look like?
It's kind of a nondescript tree most of the year. You wouldn't notice it really.
Okay.
But this time of year, it's flowering white. Not to be confused with the invasive Bradford pear that's blooming everywhere. If you're in the woods and you see something blooming white and it's a small tree, it's most likely a service berry or a sarvis berry, like they used to call it in the old days.
Interesting. I'm going to look up some pictures on that. Wow, very cool. What are some other ones?
If we're talking about small trees, right now you'll see the redbud. That's the purple flowered plant. The interesting thing about that little tree is that the flowers come right out of the bark, whereas in most plants, flowers are dangled by a little stem-like structure.
Yeah,
these actually literally come out of the bark, so they're stuck to the stems. It's very unique among our native plants. In fact, the only other place you find that is down in Middle and South America on some tropical trees.
Interesting. And interesting that the red buds aren't actually red.
Indeed. Yeah, I don't know where they got the name red bud. They should be purple bud.
Exactly. They're beautiful. They're absolutely beautiful, and you can see them everywhere right now.
Interestingly, the flowers are edible. Mountain people, you know, back in old days, the pioneer types in their cabins. They're stuck in their cabins eating stored food, which is mostly grains and that sort of thing, all winter long. So in the spring, they were nutrient deficient. They were needing a boost of all kinds of vitamins, including vitamin C and all that. And so early in the spring, they would harvest all these weird things we wouldn't think to eat. And the buds of red buds, they would collect. Then things like ramps, uh-huh. Which are like onions.
Yep.
You know, there are stories that they would just close the schools down in the spring because the kids smelled so terrible from eating those ramps.
That's,
yeah, the teachers couldn't take it.
That's, you know, that's something I don't think I've ever had a ramp before. I was telling somebody that the other day, and they were like, "What? You got to have ramps." So
I need to imagine crossing a garlic and an onion and making it even stronger.
Ooh, all right.
It is pungent.
Wow. Okay. All right. What are some other native plants?
There are tons of them. If we want to talk about shrubs now, we of course have the duet that is the most common, and that would be rhododendrons. Mountain laurels. I get questions all the time about people have erosion problems, and they want to try to solve it, and they ask me, how do I fix this? I live on the side of a mountain. My yard is washing away, and I always explain to them that, you know, look at the mountains around you elsewhere. What's holding those mountains together? It's some trees, and it's mountain laurel and rhododendrons, mm-hmm. and then leaves and twigs that have fallen to the ground that have formed a mat over the soil. That's very effective at holding together mountainsides, but all too often people, developers, builders, they go in, they clear the entire site, get rid of all the plants, build the house, and then the new homeowner or someone who comes along later and buys the house is stuck with this highly erodible area because the ground's not covered properly.
Yeah, right.
Mountain laurels and rhododendrons, the two of our best evergreen local native shrubs.
Yep.
Both of them have beautiful flowers. Both of them are medium-sized, meaning they get about, the tallest they get is about 15 feet. And they take care of themselves. You plant them in a place that's not too sunny. They do like some shade. And they will totally take care of themselves.
So it sounds to me like planting, natural plants that are indigenous to this area, it sounds to me like that's probably one of the easiest things to do, too, if they're already used to, you know, to the weather in this area and they're already used to the ground. It seems to me like, you know, those would be the easiest ones to deal with all year round.
It is. And now there are plants that do really well here. They actually do too well that are from other places, and we call those invasive plants.
Yep.
So we want to try to avoid those things like butterfly bush and others that are extremely invasive. English ivy.
Oh, boy.
Periwinkle. There's a lot of different plants that are invasive. Chinese euonymus. I could go on and on and on and on about invasive plants. But getting back to native plants that that we like a lot. One of my favorites is Virginia sweet spire or itea.
Uh-huh.
That wonderful little shrub. It forms a little cluster of stems that come out of the ground. It's called a suckering plant, meaning it fills in an area. Just little stems keep coming out of the ground, kind of filling in an area. It's beautiful, pendulous white flowers later in the spring, early summer. Another great plant is the winterberry, and that's a deciduous holly. It's a holly that the leaves fall off in the winter, exposing clusters of red berries. So it gives you winter interest in your landscape.
Hmm.
We also have native azaleas that are deciduous with leaves that come off, viburnums, spirea, which you'll see blooming right now.
What does that look like?
Spirea will it'll be a spray of stems coming out of the ground. So there'll be a cluster of stems that come up and arch over. And all along those stems will be little tiny white flowers.
Uh-huh.
So it looks like white erupting out of the ground. You'll see those around. They're going right now. There's lots of native ground covers. that are out there. We our junipers, our creeping junipers, the blue rug and the shore, those are evergreen woody ground covers. But then there's also partridge berry, phlox, Oconee bells, yellow root, and many others that can be ground covers. And people are always wanting to know ground covers. They want to know native grasses. Some native grasses are bluestem, broom sedge, river oats, switchgrass, pink muley grass, and others. And then there's the native wildflowers. And wildflowers are really good for especially pollinating insects. So bees, butterflies. And what I usually recommend people do is purchase mixes, wildflower seed mixes, which can be obtained at your local garden centers, or you can order them online. We actually have a vendor here called Eden Brothers, who is an online vendor that they have their East Coast operation here locally, who sell these a Southeastern wildflower mix, and it's the best.
Southeastern wildflower mix, Eden Brothers.
Yes, and it includes black-eyed Susans, coneflowers, milkweeds, Coreopsis, swamp sunflowers, and many other perennials and annuals in that wildflower mix.
Okay, that's some great advice. Eden Brothers wildflower mix. All right, I'm going to remember that.
So where do you find native plants? You know, you talked to Danny McConnell earlier. He has a really great garden center at his farm. I've seen it. His plants are really nice. He does a good job. But also Raymond's on Canuga Road. Linda's plants out in Eddyville, Growing Concern on Spartanburg Highway, Hen's Plant Farm out in Fletcher, Briggs Garden Center in Horseshoe. And then there's a new one that I noticed that has popped up in the last year or so, and that's a place called Starting Gardens in Etowah. It's kind of in between Horseshoe and Etowah, and they have lots of plants nowadays. And then Ace in Flat Rock also has a really good garden center. And, of course, your big box stores all have garden centers.
Sure.
As well.
Sure. But the bottom line is we need to be looking for these native plants. That's what we really need to be planting around here, right?
Right. So why plant native plants? Well, they're easier to manage. They do better here oftentimes than non-native plants. They're better for wildlife because our wildlife is adapted to these plants over long time. Bees and butterflies and other critters have actually evolved to hand in hand with these flowers and trees and shrubs. When you get rid of just turf grass, your turf grass in your yard is really kind of a desert to critters. There's not much going on there, especially if you're controlling weeds. If you're controlling weeds, there's really very little that is good for wildlife. So dedicating some of that lawn and going back to natural, planting wildflower patches, that sort of thing, can make your landscape be less environmentally unfriendly and way more friendly to our native insects, animals, et cetera.
Fantastic. This is great advice, Steve. Thank you so much. I love this native plant list that you put together and all of this. Can we get more of this information through you guys, through emailing and calling and your website?
Yes, sure can. If you go to our website, this will be posted on the front page as a news item. You're welcome to go there and read more about native plants and give us a call at 697-4891 if you want. That's 828-697-4891, and we'll be glad to help you out.
Right. You guys are closed to traffic through the offices there, but you got people there ready to answer any questions so we can get out and get our fingers dirty this weekend, right?
We are answering the phones and emails.
Okay. Fantastic. Fantastic. Steve, thanks for your gardening advice today on native plants. We appreciate it, as always.
No, thank you, Mark. You take care of yourself.
All right. We will do it. You do the same. Wash your hands, okay? Steve Pettis with the North Carolina Cooperative Extension right here. Of course, their office is in Jackson Park, but remember, you can call them anytime, 697-4891. You can email Steve at steve_Pettis, P-E-T-T-I-S, at ncsu.com. edu. And, of course, look for him online. You'll see a lot of this information that he talked about this morning right there on their website. All righty. Thank you, Steve Pettis, again, with North Carolina Cooperative Extension Service. Get out there this weekend and get your hands dirty and plant some of these native plants.